This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
I mean, also what I want to make mention of, my brothers and my sisters, the fact that you guys have chosen to attend this gathering on a Friday night is honestly something that should be commended and praiseworthy. We know what many of the Shabab are doing on a Friday night. This is the night that many decide to enjoy themselves. And I put that in quotation marks. Many are up to no good. So the fact that you're sitting here, wallahi, it really shows that there is goodness in your hearts. Normally, after working throughout the week, 9 to 5, you just want to relax on a Friday night, right? And it's not always easy. It's not always easy to come to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, especially in the evening after a long day, to sit here to learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's teachings. And I'll tell you guys this, my brothers and my sisters, especially when there is excessive ghafla, heedlessness, when the people have become so trapped by the different types and forms of fitan, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these times is so much more rewarding. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us, Al-Ujur ala qadr al-mashaqqa. One, he's rewarded in accordance to how much difficulty and how much hardship he experiences when doing acts of worship. Right? This is why, subhanAllah, there's such a huge reward in remembering Allah Azza wa Jal when you go to the markets. There's such a huge reward. Great reward just for remembering Allah Azza wa Jal when you go to the markets. Why? Because it is a place of ghafla, when the people have become so heedless. So here, without a shadow of a doubt, it is something that, you know, it is praiseworthy, something that should be commended. So my brothers and my sisters, today the topic is about how we can really and truly love our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I know that the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal has gone by. Is that the only time when we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is that the only time when we show love and affection to our beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? My brothers and my sisters, there are 365 days in the year. There are 365 days in the year. Does it make sense, my brothers and my sisters, that only we dedicate one day where we show our love and our affection and our support to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Or maybe let's just say every Thursday, or should our support and our love and affection of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be something that is continuous, something that is consistent, right? Throughout the year, every moment in our lives, we try our utmost best to do that which is in line with what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with. So I'm going to, inshallah ta'ala, mention some points. Perhaps, my brothers and my sisters, this will increase our love of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Point number one, my brothers and my sisters, we must come to realization and accept and learn that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has an extremely high status amongst us all. He is the most honorable individual that has ever walked on the face of this earth. There is no one who is more honorable than the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there won't be anyone that will be more virtuous and more honorable than the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him out of all of mankind. اختارهم من بين خلقه. Even the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said about himself, أَنَا سَيِّدُ وَلَدِ آدَمُ. I am the leader of the children of Adam. On the day of resurrection, يوم القيامة, وَأَوَّلُ مَنْ يُنْشَقُ عَنْهُ الْقَبَرُ. I am the first person that will come out of the grave. وَأَوَّلُ شَافِعٍ وَأَوَّلُ مُشَفِّعٍ. I'm the first person who will be allowed to intercede. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my brothers and my sisters, right, is the most noble, the most honorable, and the most virtuous individual. لا غبار عليه. Anyone who doubts this, my brothers and my sisters, he is not a Muslim. This is a core fundamental belief of any Muslim that walks on the face of this earth, and he has to be. And if that's not the case, he has only himself to blame. So that's number one, my brothers and my sisters. Number two, أن نعلم أنه لقي المحنة والمشقة من أجل أن يصلنا الدين. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my beloved brothers and sisters, he went through so many hardships, so many difficulties, right? So many trials and tribulations, just so we could practice al-Islam, or should I maybe say, وهو أبلغ, right? So we could receive al-Islam on a plate. My brothers and my sisters, if we look at what happened to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the beginning of his da'wah, look at all the troubles that he went through. Now ask yourself the question, am I being tortured? Am I being harmed for practicing my religion? Wallahi, compared to that, we should at times hold our heads in shame. They, my brothers and my sisters, were tortured. Look what happened to the first martyr in Islam. Subhanallah. Ammar ibn Yasir, right? His mother Sumayya, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een. What happened to this lady, my brothers and my sisters, who was the first martyr in Islam? Does anybody know? She held on to her religion, brothers and sisters. She was then captured by Quraysh. They tied her down on the ground. And you know what they've done? They took an arrow, and they striked it in between her legs. They striked it between her legs, brothers and sisters. The pain that she went through, the hurt. This is a huge, huge trial, brothers and sisters. And even then, she did not conform to what the mushriks believed. Subhanallah. Look at Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, under the blazing heat, brothers and sisters, under the blazing heat, he's being tortured by his master. And he still never let go. A big, huge rock is brought, and then it is placed under the scorching heat on top of Bilal. And even then he says, Ahadun Ahad, the one and only, the one and only, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He never budged. He didn't let go of his religion, brothers and sisters. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salawatu rabbi wa salamu alayhi, بأبي أنت وأمي ومسنجر of الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, was humiliated, was tortured. He wasn't just verbally abused, but also physically. Agreed? Let's now stand over some incidents that took place. One time the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم tried to gather everybody so he could admonish them in front of the Kaaba. You know what he said to them? If I was to tell you now that there is an army, تُرِيدُ أَن تُغِيرَ عَلَيْكُمْ, there's an army round the corner that wants to attack you, would you believe me? He said, مَا جَرَّبْنَا عَلَيْكَ إِلَّا صِدْقًا, we've only ever come to know that Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, is a truthful individual. Why shouldn't we believe you? He was a Sadiq al-Amin before prophecy. Truthful and trustworthy before al-Islam came. Right? Subhanallah. They said, we'll believe you. And then he told them that I may profit بين يدي عذاب شديد. A nadir, someone who has come to warn you from the punishment that awaits you if you don't embrace La ilaha illallah. Huh? Out of all people, brothers and sisters, you know who tried to humiliate him? Arab people. his own uncle. Being abused by your relatives, my brothers and my sisters, is far worse for one to take than when it comes from someone who you don't know. This is why the poet says, وَظُلْمُ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى أَشَدُّ مَضَادَةً. Huh? You being oppressed by your relatives is so much more painful. أَشَدُّ مَضَادَةً مِنْ وَقْعِ الْحُسَامِ الْمُهَنَّدِي. Have you guys heard of the Indian sword? Back in the day, it would be the Indian sword that is used as a measuring stick to determine as to whether this sword is sharp or not. Huh? It was the sword that was used as an example. It was the sword to have. It was the most impactful and most effective in war, the Indian sword. The poet is saying, for you to be struck by this Indian sword, is less painful than you being what? Harmed or abused or oppressed by your own relatives. Wallahi can hurt, brothers and sisters. Especially when you try to give da'wah to them. They humiliate you, they laugh at you, they ridicule you, they jest and they mock. It can be so, so difficult. And now, subhanAllah, is happening in front of everybody. That's even more worse. Right? I know some of you guys may have been in this position. Right? I have been as well. I remember, subhanAllah, when I came back from Yemen, this is many years ago, back in 2014. It's like some of my relatives were waiting to make a mockery out of me. Right? Female nasabat occasions when everybody gets together. This is haram, huh? This is what I would hear. I haven't even opened my mouth. Haram, 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 huh? Haram police. This is in front of everyone. How are you going to react? Right? Shaitan, sometimes if it can't come directly to you, will come through others to infuriate you. So it can really, really hurt. And this is exactly what his uncle done to him. He humiliated him in front of everyone. Right. Then you also have brothers and sisters. Oh, subhanAllah. My wife told me to call her so she can listen to it. Just bear with me. Just bear with me, brothers and sisters. Right, that is one example, brothers and sisters, of the verbal abuse that he experienced. Then you also have the physical abuse. Imagine now, brothers and sisters, right? While his daughter is watching Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is praying in front of the Kaaba. And then you had some of the Qurayshis are sitting around daring one another. They're all looking at him, daring one another, saying, who's going to get, you know, the waste and the intestines of the sheep? You know, the butcher, maybe you have a butcher over here and he can testify to what I'm saying. After you slice up the lamb or the sheep or the cow, there are parts that are thrown in the bin that you cannot sell to the customer. Remember, subhanAllah, once upon a time my dad had a grocery store and then at the back he had a butcher, right? The butcher would what? Cut up the sheep, would remove the skin, and there would be parts that would be thrown into the bin. Sometimes what would happen is the butcher would forget all of this filth inside of the grocery store. You walk in, it is an absolutely disgusting smell. Right, for the next half an hour, my dad would be perfuming the place because of how much he stinks. So they're daring one another. Who's going to take it and place it on top of Muhammad while he's praying? Salawatu Rabbi wa salamu alayhi. So So one of them went, came back, and then he poured it on top of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha came running. Huh? And she began to what? Pick it up from his back. And she got really, really infuriated, and she started what? Insulting them. Huh? So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through in order to carry out a prayer. And the examples are many. In the Battle of Uhud, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had his helmet smashed, his face gashed, and his teeth crushed. And then he said, كَيْفَ يَفْلَحُ قَوْمٌ شَجُّوا وَجْهَ نَبِيِّهِمْ وَهُوَ يَدْعُوهُ إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ. How can a people who have gashed the face of their prophet ever be successful? How can they ever be successful? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down a verse, لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ أَوْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ أَوْ يُعَدِّبَهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ ظَالِمُونَ. O Muhammad, he was here being reprimanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something that you don't decide. Meaning, you cannot decide who becomes guided and who doesn't. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who chooses. So do not now make this claim that they will never ever be successful. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that which he was going through. Even though he's the most honorable person to ever walk on the face of this earth, brothers and sisters, the most honorable, he would still have these human emotions that he would struggle with. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down these verses, وَلَقَدَ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. We know, O Muhammad, that which they keep saying about you is hurting you. It's affecting you. Allah Azza wa Jal would then what? Instruct him to do a number of things in order to ease the pain. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَكُنْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. Glorify your Lord. Do tasbih, subhanAllah, subhanAllah, subhanAllah. And be someone who prays. Be someone who is from amongst the people who pray. That really will ease up your difficulties, brothers and sisters. Earlier when I was giving a lecture in Aston University in Birmingham, speaking about Surah Yusuf, Allah Azza wa Jal sent down this chapter upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why Allah said, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ. We tell you about this story. Why? Because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam needed it. He needed that which is going to what? Ease his pain. This is why in the Quran there are enough stories that we just need to refer back to, that will help us through our trials and tribulations. Right? If you come to me now with your problems and you say, I'm going through this and I'm going through that, I need, you know, some advice, I need a shoulder to cry on and lean on. And then I say to you, Ya Akhi, I went through everything that you're going through and even worse. And Alhamdulillah, I managed to overcome everything. How would that make you feel? You'll feel so much more better. I keep receiving phone calls and messages from brothers who applied for in Medina but never got accepted. And they're heartbroken. Huh? They feel so down. Their morale has gone down. Huh? They feel like giving up. And then I say to them, the brother that you're messaging, Abu Taymiyyah, applied 6 years in a row and still got rejected. Every single time. It's like, oh wow, subhanAllah. Huh? That means I still have hope. Yes. So now, subhanAllah, Allah Azza wa Jal is sending down these stories in order to inspire him, because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going through a lot of difficulty. It's going through a lot of hardship, brothers and sisters. Right? Trials and tribulations. It really, really got to him. So he's going through all of this, brothers and sisters, just so we could receive al-Islam on a plate. That's how we should look at it, brothers and sisters. Now when you know somebody who went through so much trouble to defend you in this dunya, how would you feel about him? You will never forget that person. That guy stood for me. He was there for me when I was in need the most. Sahih? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through all of this. Right? There wasn't 1.8 billion Muslims at a time. They're being tortured, they're being attacked from different directions. SubhanAllah. And even then, he's still what? Continuing this call, just so me and you can pick up at Islam on a plate. And then my brothers and my sisters, the freedom that we have, you have the right to express what you feel and what you say. Freedom of speech, guys. And just to let you guys know, you guys heard of David Cameron? Who's David Cameron? He's the previous Prime Minister. Back in 2015, when the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was humiliated by Charlie Hebdo. You guys know Charlie Hebdo? A French cartoonist who depicted pornographic images of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Pornographic images of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam they depicted. David Cameron and his likes and other world leaders, they all came out to stand in solidarity with who? With the oppressed? With Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who just had his honor ripped to shreds? Is that what happened, brothers and sisters? That they came out to stand in solidarity with Charlie Hebdo. Charlie Hebdo. Defending your right to freedom of expression. And not just that, but also the right to offend. You cannot be able to express your freedom of expression, as they say, right? Except by offending others. So they say, just as we stand up for freedom of expression and freedom of speech, we should also stand up for the right to offend. SubhanAllah. Allahu Akbar. Why am I mentioning all of this, my brothers and my sisters? Just went on a tangent here. We have the ability in this country to practice our religion so openly. Sahih? Is anyone holding a gun to your head? I had an Egyptian roommate. You know what he used to say to me? For 6 years. No, sorry. Yes, 6 years we spent together. You know what he used to say to me, guys? In Egypt, in a Muslim country, if they see you going to the masjid too much, your name will be what? Relayed back to the government. SubhanAllah. You'll be reported. In some Muslim countries that you go to, you're put under a lot of pressure. One of the blessings that we have over here, brothers and sisters, we are able to practice our religion so freely. And yes, guys, we are able to teach our children the morals and the values that Al-Islam stands for. However, we have been fear-mongered and we have fallen victim to the antics of the enemy. If you say something, then you will be cancelled. We are terrified, sahih? Please, brothers and sisters, I have a lot of videos on my YouTube channel that are extremely colourful. Not a single one of them has been taken down. I'm in contact with solicitors and lawyers. This is why I put all of these disclaimers at the beginning, saying that we are not here to entice violence and harassment towards any minority group or anyone that walks on the face of this earth. I am a compassionate and peaceful imam. But then we speak about all of these topics and issues. But you just have to do it smartly. Right? And nobody can get you cancelled, demonized. You have non-Muslims, brothers and sisters. Non-Muslims. Who openly came out and clearly and explicitly voted against same-sex marriages. And I'm just quoting. I'm just quoting, guys. There are 363 Conservative MPs 137 of them, more than half that is. Now, more than half of Conservative MPs, they voted against same-sex marriages. This was on the BBC, guys. And then we feel like if we hold on to what the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, then we will be into trouble. مَنْ قَالَ لَكُمْ هَذَا? Who said this, my brothers and my sisters? From amongst us was an individual called Jacob Rees-Mogg. You guys heard of him? He's probably heard in the lecture that I gave. Jacob Rees-Mogg is one of Boris Johnson's right-hand men. Of course, he's not in office anymore. It's Liz Truss, right? We still keep seeing changes in the cabinet. Today we had a sacking. The Chancellor has been fired. Of course, somebody had to take the bullets, right? To get rid of the coloured man, huh? My brothers and my sisters, you have non-Muslims who are openly coming out and holding on to their religion and holding on to what they stand for. They invited over Jacob Rees-Mogg onto the Good Morning Show. At the time, he was being hosted by that Khabith. What was his name? Piers Morgan. And they kept on asking him, what is your position on same-sex marriages? Every single response was, according to the teachings of the church. In his posh accent. He's asked again, what is your position? He goes, it doesn't matter what my position is, according to the teachings of the church. It's openly. It's got millions of views on YouTube. Right? You know, brothers and sisters, would you agree that liberalism, right, a watered down narrative of Islam has become so widespread? Holding on to your religion has become abnormalized, vilified, and that is simply because we have not fulfilled our duties. What is our duties, brothers and sisters? Our duties is to learn al-Islam and then to go and convey it. No one is saying become the next khatib. Some people think when you say seek knowledge, it should only be for someone who's trying to become like the next scholar of the ummah or the next khatib. La. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, and I'm sure you guys heard of it, right? What happened in that masjid in central London. When you had them young children who came out saying, the queen deserves to be in Jannah. These are young children who go to Islamic schools and they were singing the national anthem in the mosque. The video went viral. It was on BBC, it was on The Guardian, it was on Sky, and so on and so forth. And then the imam came out and said, oh, she was such a, you know, great role model. And then even quoted the hadith, Antum shuhada'u Allahi ala al-ard. You are the witnesses of Allah on the earth. And she was such a great person. When you get a chance, I have a khutbah on my YouTube channel. It's called The King, The Queen, and My Aqeedah as a Muslim. The Zionists are cutting it up. And they're posting it on their YouTube channels. They can take it as much as they want and benefit. Wallahi al-azim. It's been put on Memory TV. Walakin, my brothers and my sisters, why is this happening? I was having a discussion with a brother who graduated from Medina. I said to him, I know you can, you know, you're pretty upset and emotional and you're saying that the imam done this and the imam done that. And yes, I understand. However, what is the root cause of this problem? What is the root cause? Would you agree, I said to him, that we have stopped propagating what normative Islam stands for? If we as a generation are ignorant, ما نعرف شيئا عن الدين, we don't know anything about the religion, then what do you expect from our kids? ماذا نتوقع من هؤلاء? What do we expect? This is a question we have to ask ourselves. You know, back in 2015, I've been mentioning this in lectures, right? Back in 2015, I think it was actually one of the masajid in commentary. No names. Huh? I remember one time I was in the masjid giving a lecture and there was a lot of odayal, a lot of elders in the back. I was warning the parents. This is 2015. Ya uncles. Ya odayal. Do not be surprised tomorrow if your daughter comes to you and he says, Dad, I want to have a relationship with Mark. Or I want to have a relationship with John. Some of you guys are laughing. This is serious here. I do not be surprised. Like I remember the uncles, they looked at me. I was like, Ninkan, this guy's a little bit, he's a little bit too much. Maybe he's not the right person to give this type of lecture. I would also add to that, don't be surprised in a couple of years if you have your children waking up saying, Dad, I am gay. Don't be surprised. Your son wakes up and he says, Dad, I want to have a relationship with Bob. Wallah, I could see the faces of the odayal, the elders becoming extremely, extremely angry. And I think they reported me to the idara as well. This guy is not fit for the job. Brothers and sisters, every other week, I receive a message of maybe a parent saying, my child is YouTubing, how can I get rid of, and I'm just quoting here, I'm not here to express my own views and opinions, YouTubing, how can I get rid of homosexual tendencies? It's a young child. Let me read out to you guys, inshallah ta'ala, a message that I sent to some of the brothers the other day. A brother was giving a lecture in one of the universities, Southampton. I gave a program there as well. Later on, he receives a message saying the following. I am Muslim born and raised. I believe without a doubt in the word of Allah. However, I don't believe in the hadith. I don't believe in the hadith, but I believe in Allah's book. Because he says that it's been tainted by human subjectivity and whatever have you. Anyways, look what he then says. Not all, and then he puts in quotation marks, colorfuls are sinners. Or a sin. Not all colorfuls. What appears to me in the email is that this brother was talking about this topic and he used the term colorfuls instead of LGBTQ. He says not all of them are sinners and not everything they do is a sin. Love is never wrong. Today we hear love is love. Love is love. A man can love a man, a woman can love a woman. However, look at the double standards. What if a brother wants to have a relationship with his sister? Or he wants to have a relationship with his mother? Love is love, right? You'll see them all and all saying this is not right. So who determines what is right and what is wrong? As time goes on, you will see perspectives changing. Sahih? Let me just quickly deal with this shubha, this doubt. There was once upon a time, homosexuality in the UK was considered a crime. Agreed? The capital punishment was for you to get your head chopped off. Once upon a time here. As time went on, the punishment began to change up until it was perfectly made permissible under the law. Weed, when I was growing up, was considered a huge crime. However, as time went on, in some states now in America, it is perfectly lawful. Tayyib, so who determines what is right and what is wrong? Even, I think they call it cannibalism, right? Cannibalism? You guys know what that is? When one eats another. You guys heard of that? Up until today, brothers and sisters, it is considered perfectly fine in some places. So what is considered moral and immoral? What is considered morally acceptable? Who determines that for us? Even today when you speak to atheists, they themselves cannot agree on what is considered morally acceptable. You ask him one thing, he'll give you an answer. You go and ask the other the same question, he'll tell you something different. Tayyip, so what is right and what is wrong? If you leave that to the creation, they will never be able to agree. Agreed? Without a shadow of a doubt. This is why we have no option except to believe in an external entity that governs us with a law, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, you will see society just going at against one another. Nothing will ever be what? Consistent. And then look what he says, love is never wrong, even between two adult Muslims. Two adult Muslim brothers. Only your misguidances. So do better. Be better yourselves. And then he says, Allahumma barik. And then he says, he quotes a verse from the Quran. And when you have decided, when you have made a decision, I think he's referring to the verse, فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Then rely upon Allah. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who rely upon Him. So he's basically now using verses from the Quran to justify it. Like, I made a decision and then I put my trust in Allah, so this is me. Brothers and sisters, why am I mentioning all of this, right? The doubts are spreading. Wallahi, today guys, today. I think this imam is in Germany. He has a transgender standing in front of him, saying, what does the Quran say about homosexuality? This man, he has what? A big yellow, whatever he's, you know, I think some hair. And he's wearing a dress. And he's asking this imam in Germany, I believe it was, right? From his accent. What does the Quran say about homosexuality? And by the way, guys, just in case Channel 4 is here, looking to clip or to record me and whatever have you, I'm not here expressing my own views and opinions. I do not entice, or should I say incite, violence or hatred towards anyone. I'm just quoting and relaying back information that I took from the internet. So anyways, asking this imam, what does the Quran say about homosexuality? You know what he says? Quran is only speaking about rape. It's not speaking about same-sex marriages and relationships that are done consensually. Well, I know we've just gone a bit on a different topic here. Even Muhammad said to me, when he was asking about the topic, what do you want to speak about? I said, I don't know, pick a topic. He goes, no, khalas, you spoke about the rainbows too many times. Speak about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But I think this is very, very important. Well, I wasn't even planning to discuss this, but we're going to go back, inshallah ta'ala. But I'm making a point here. In the Quran, it talks about the people of Lot, right? I'm just quoting here. It talks about the people of Lot. And this imam now saying that it's only speaking about rape. Let me ask you guys a question. Right? Before I do that, what do you think? How would you respond to this? That the Quran is only speaking about rape. You know, the Qawm of Lut, the people of Lut, they did that which is related to rape. They didn't. It wasn't referring to same sex and consensual and whatever have you. Huh? Ma ra'ikum? Huh?
He's a liar.
I know he's a liar, but how do you respond to it?
Ignore him.
Huh? Ignore him. My brothers and my sisters.
Read the scripture.
Brothers and sisters. Is there, in any scenario, where a man can look at the private parts of another man?
No. Medical.
Except, of course, halat al-darura. But even then, if there is an issue on his back, you can't look at the front. The doctor has to only deal with where the problem is. It's not like he can look at every part of your private parts. Nah, my juice is not, it's haram, even for the doctor. So now look at this shubha. Look at this doubt. That this person now is spewing. And on TikTok, Wallahi, I saw the screenshot. It has something like, I think 80,000 likes. That's just the likes. Imagine how many views it got. Probably gone into his millions. And our children are on TikTok. This is what they are being fed, brothers and sisters. Are you brothers and sisters with me? So all of this is being said, brothers and sisters. Everyone's holding on to what they stand for and what they believe and whatever have you. But then we are embarrassed to convey what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with. And he went through all of that, brothers and sisters. He went through all of them hardships and difficulties and trials and tribulations just for us. For us now to come in 2022 and we are not vocal about our religion. So I was telling the Medina graduate, Akhi, we should blame ourselves. We have not been vocal enough. Right? And that's something every single person here should think about. Every person. When you go onto the internet and our kids, they see this. Huh? Wallahi, that community, even though they are considered a minority, they look like they are the biggest and largest population on the face of this earth. Sahih? Especially on social media. That's how it appears. But why though? You know why, guys? Because every single member of theirs is playing an active role in spreading and conveying that which they stand for. All of them, they're always posting. Huh? This is how it should be. This is what I believe. This is me. Look at me. This, that, and whatever have you. But we Muslims are not saying anything. We have let our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam down. He who told us to convey بلغوا عني ولا آية. Are you brothers and sisters with me? So this is why every single individual here has a big role to play, especially in these pressing and testing times. To learn his religion and then to go and teach it. Do not be surprised, my brothers and my sisters, that tomorrow you see this becoming extremely, extremely rampant and it starts entering into our homes. Once upon a time, if the daughter ran away with a non-Muslim, it was a big deal. We've become desensitized to it now. We've become desensitized to it. This is just round the corner, brothers and sisters. It's already happening. I'm receiving phone calls from parents every now and again. Please, can you come talk to my son? And the final point, my brothers and my sisters, pertaining to qawa'id, principles, in loving the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is following him in our actions. This is a clear indication that you truly love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers and sisters, I can hold a banner all day long. I love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But that's brothers and sisters lip service. You guys know what lip service is? Someone who just talks and doesn't actually follow that up with action. He becomes more beloved to you than your wealth, than your family, than your children, and so on and so forth. And you do that by following his sunnah in every way possible. You know how the companions really, really loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Look what they were ready to do. I'll give you guys the example of Abu Talha, who was shielding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Battle of Uhud. Abu Talha was a strong, experienced archer who used to keep his arrow, or should I say, arrow bow, strong and well stretched. On that day, he broke two or three of his arrows, subhanAllah, because of how well he was fighting. If any man passed by carrying a quiver full of arrows, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, empty it in front of him. Let him now take it, because he was a good archer. One time the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started looking at the enemy, because he was covering him, right, Abu Talha. One time the Messenger wanted to see what's going on. So Abu Talha noticed that he was raising his head. He said, "Oh Allah's Prophet, let my parents be sacrificed for your sake. Please don't raise your head and make it visible, because you might accidentally be hit by the enemy. Let my neck and chest be wounded instead of yours." They were ready to put their bodies on their lines, on the line, brothers and sisters. No one is even saying do that. All we are saying, brothers and sisters, the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, with every step that we take and every move that we make, we love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, right? There is a verse that Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi alayhi referred to as Ayatul Mihna, the verse of examination. You know what this verse was? When Allah said, "Qul, say to Muhammad, in kuntum tuhibbun Allah, you really love Allah. This is the acid test here. Fattabi'uni, then what? Follow me, and Allah will love you." Hassan al-Basri commented on, he said, "Za'amu annahum yuhibbun Allah wa rasulah." Some people, they claim that they love Allah and His Messenger. So He tested them with this verse. He tested them with this verse. You know the companions, they would do the sunnah because it was a sunnah. Today we leave it off because it's a sunnah. Sahih? Oh, it's just a sunnah, man. Allow it. They've done it. Oh, it's a sunnah. Let's go and do it. You know, it's also really, really sad, my brothers and my sisters. The amount of a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the amount of a hadith that encourages us to wake up for Fajr, right? Likewise, we have that responsibility to wake up our children, right? Sahih. I think it's worth mentioning because I just recently heard one of my shaykh make mention of this, right? Subhanallah. Fajr time kicks in, we say, "Allah, leave the children. They are tired." Huh? But when it comes to the school, you walk past the homes, you could see screams. You could hear screams. Bukh! Get up! Do this! Huh? We are so concerned about that. But when it comes to our deen and what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam worked so hard to establish, it just falls on deaf ears. I don't know over here, brothers and sisters, but in Leicester, you had thousands of people coming out marching for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Did that happen here in Coventry? Did you guys have marches? Huh. On the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal. And I remember also our brother, Salab al-Abbas, he sent a video in our group. One of the masajid that organized these marches over there in the north. Thousands of people coming out, marching the streets. And then he took a video of Fajr prayer. Wallahi, you don't see one row for Fajr prayer. One row for Fajr prayer, brothers and sisters. But then the marches, people are coming out, showing their support for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In a way, brothers and sisters, let's be honest with ourselves. Is this really what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam wanted? Tayyib, you may say to yourself that we are not doing anything wrong. Tayyib, companions, radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. Does anyone here love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam more than the companions? Wallahi, I don't think there is. And there isn't. I shouldn't say I don't think. There isn't. Those who witnessed the wahi coming down couldn't have done it. Couldn't have done all these marches. And why only one night or one day we are showing all of this support, but then the rest of the time we're so heedless? Then you have the tabi'een, the atba'u tabi'een, and then the four great imams of fiqh. Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi alayh, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad, Imam Malik. And then the six great imams of hadith, none of them done it. None of them done it. And our celebrations are ibadah. Right? We have two Eids. 2 days of celebration. Right? And now we've taken a third day as a celebration. Why don't we also celebrate the birthday of Jesus? Why not? Huh? Why don't we also celebrate the birthday of Moses? If we've opened already one door, let's make it. And then inshallah we can also look up the birthdays of all the other Ulul Azm and the rest of the prophets. We'll probably end up having a celebration every month of the year. Can you see, brothers and sisters, how our deen becomes distorted? Our deen becomes distorted. Why have many lost interest in Christianity? Can anybody tell me? Why?
The amount of innovations.
Huh?
The amount of innovations.
The amount of innovations. Well, that's very true. Imagine the scripture says one thing, and then the pastor is coming out with something completely different. You have gay pastors, brothers and sisters. The scripture says one thing, and then the pastor is on something completely different. When the scripture is saying otherwise, imagine now, may Allah Azza wa Jalla protect us from this. The imam that we all look up to, tomorrow turns gay. Would anybody listen to him? Allah, you have gay pastors. Every now and again, they are what? Reforming the religion. Up until they ended up losing interest. Isn't this what is going to happen to our religion as well, when we just tamper with it, when we just keep adding things and taking things away and whatever have you? Huh? Our religion will become an absolute and utter joke. So, subhanAllah, we have this verse that the Jews used to really, subhanAllah, even on the day of Arafah, a Jew came to Umar ibn Khattab and he said, "Ayatun fi kitabikum taqra'unha." There is a verse in your Quran that you read. Had it come down on us Jews, we would have taken that day as an Eid. Umar said, "What verse are you speaking about?" He said, "Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum," the day when I completed your religion. Brothers and sisters, wallahi, right? Doing the things that the least we could say is doubtful, wallahi, it is contributing to what the Muslim Ummah is going through. Wallahi, it is contributing to it. When we sin, whether we realize it or not, it is weakening the Muslim Ummah. It is weakening it. Even subhanAllah, Ibn Daqiq al-Eid, over 700 years ago, he said, إِنَّمَا اسْتَوْلَتِ التَّتَارِ عَلَى بِلَادِ الْمَشْرِقِ. Tatar was only able to overpower the Muslims in the East. You know when? When philosophy, and also innovations became so rampant amongst the people. When we sin, when we carry out innovations, when we tamper with this religion, you will see that Islam will become so, so weak. Right? You know something that is extremely profound, huh? That will shock everybody here. Let me tell you guys what Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi said over 700 years ago. You'll think to yourself, is he living amongst us? Like, is he alive? Look what he says, right? وَإِذَا كَانَ فِي الْمُسْلِمِينَ ضَعْفٌ وَكَانَ عَدُوهُمْ مُسْتَظْهِرًا عَلَيْهِمْ كَانَ ذَلِكْ بِسَبَبِ ذُنُوبِهِمْ وَخَطَايَاهُمْ. And when the Muslims begin to experience weakness and find the enemy having overpowered them, then the cause for this is their sins and transgression. Wait. Also, Ibn Taymiyyah says, وَكَذَلِكَ لَمَّا كَانَ أَهْلُ الْمَشْرِقِ قَائِمِينَ بِالْإِسْلَامِ كانوا منصورين على الكفار المشركين من التركي والهند والصين. He says, when the people of the East, the Muslims, they established Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them victory over the kuffar and the mushriks. From amongst who? The Turks, the Indians, and also the Chinese. Guys, Ibn Taymiyyah is not alive. He doesn't know what's happening in China now. He doesn't know. He's saying this over 700 years ago. By the way, he passed away in 728. When they established Al-Islam and they stood by it, Allah Azza wa Jalla gave them victory over the mushriks from China, India, and the Turks. فَلَمَّا ظَهَرَ مِنْهُمْ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنَ الْبِدَعِ وَالْإِلْحَادِ وَالْفُجُورِ سُلِّطَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْكُفَّارِ. However, when transgression, innovations became so widespread, Allah Azza wa Jalla caused the kuffar to overpower them. Brothers and sisters, we have to always ask ourselves, and this is a very important principle. When someone now wants to do a practice under the realm of Islam, he comes across a narration, he comes across a verse, he has to ask himself two questions. نَصٌ مُصَدَّقْ وَبَحْثٌ مُحَقَّقْ. First of all, is this authentic? Is this authentic? That which I'm about to do, is it authentic? And then also, is it being used in its proper context? Is it being used in its proper context? These are two questions I have to ask myself. For example, now when you go into the toilet, what would you normally read? فَتَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ الْخُبْثِ وَالْخَبَائِثِ. مَا رَأَيْكُمْ? What if I said to you guys, every time I'm going to go into the toilet, I'm going to read Ayatul Kursi? Why not? Is that an issue? Can you see how the religion now can become extremely tampered with? We have to ask ourselves the question, is it authentic? Is Ayatul Kursi authentic? Is it authentic? It's in the Quran. Number two, is it being used in its proper context? And remember, brothers and sisters, this second principle, and I will stop now. الأصل في العبادة الحضر. The base ruling is that you cannot do an act of worship until you find an evidence for it. It is haram to attribute anything to the religion unless you find an evidence. It's haram. I cannot do something until I have an evidence. However, when it comes to cultural practices, al-adat, the asr is it is permissible until you find an evidence saying it's haram. Can I see the difference? I think in the Asian community they have a lot of rishta. That's what they call it, sahih? When a sister has been given away, khalas, they have like 7-8 get-togethers before the marriage. Sahih? Come and help me out here. Is that right? Or am I misrepresenting you guys?
Shadi.com.
Tayyib. Is there anything wrong with that?
Yeah.
Huh?
It is.
Why?
It's like cattle on the market. You're showing your sister or whatever to everybody, yeah.
No, what I'm referring to is she's khalas now, been handed over to the groom, like he's going to marry her. And then the family, they just get together in different houses and they just want to get together. They have little parties in the house. Is that haram in within itself? It only becomes haram if they're doing things that are haram. But the concept in within itself, let's just say it's haram free. They're just going from one house to another. Girls are getting together. Is there anything wrong with that? No, there isn't. Even in the Somali culture, when you get invited over, and you finish with the food, the Somali ada is that they bring you a bowl, bakhuli, that has water in it. You don't get up to wash your hands, sahih? Somali is here. Somaha. Is that right? These are adat. There's nothing wrong with an ada as long as it doesn't go against the sharia. But the Quran and the sunnah is very different. Our deen is very different. You cannot attribute anything to religion unless you have an evidence. Hadi qawa'id. وليس مشروع من الأمور غير الذي في شرعنا مذكور والأصل في عاداتنا الإباحة حتى يجيء صارف الإباحة. Is that clear, brothers and sisters? Us holding onto our religion, especially in these testing and pressing times, wallahi, brothers and sisters, is something that is so much needed. We are being vilified just for calling to what? At-tawheed, saying al-wala wal-bara and whatever have you. And loving what Allah loved and to hate what Allah loved, you're being looked as an extremist. Look what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will finish with this. He said, بَدَأَ الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبًا وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا كَمَا بَدَأَ. Islam started as something strange, and it will come back as something strange. Then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, طُوبَى لِلْغُرَبَى. Glad tidings to those who are strange. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by the companions, who are they? What are their qualities? You know what he said? هُمُ الَّذِينَ يُصْلِحُونَ مَا أَفْسَدَ النَّاسُ مِنْ أُمَّتِي. They are the ones who will rectify that which my ummah has corrupted. Do you not see that happening? Within, munafiqun within, are coming out and misrepresenting Islam, distorting it. I'm actually going to record a refutation on this doubt that has been spread. Him saying that in the Quran, there is nothing that speaks about consensual marriages with the same gender. It's only speaking about rape. Wallahi, that's a dangerous shubha. That is being spread on TikTok, which our children have become so glued to. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة في الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما لوط عليه الصلاة والسلام would make the dua ربنا نجني وأهلي مما يعملون. And this is a dua that we should keep on our tongues, which means, oh Allah, protect me, save me and my family from that which they do. ربنا نجينا وأهالينا مما يعملون. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. جزاكم الله خيرا بارك الله فيكم. Honestly, on a Friday night to see all these شباب, it's really really heartwarming. May Allah bless you all and reward every single one of you. So I want to thank the administration again for allowing me to express that which is mentioned in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And ask Allah if He doesn't reunite us in this dunya, to reunite us in the hereafter, in the highest part of Al-Jannah. Subhanahu wa bihamdik, shudu an la ilaha ila ant, astaghfiruka, wa atubu ilayk, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I don't think there's a Q&A, right? I will stop there. I think they're tired. The average attention span of a millennial is 24 minutes. This is back in 2013. Allahu a'lam wa ilayhi.